Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
He knew there was litigation. He knew the sheriff was issuing press releases. How can he not know that? Everybody in the world knew that. And not to go to Lisa Allen and say, hey, you know what? You got to be careful. We're in litigation, and I need to review these.
We just think it's setting Arizona back. We're kind of repeating what we attempted to do after the Great Recession, when they froze the Medicaid expansion population, and that devastated the economy even worse at that time. And we're just going to do it all over again.
I mean, we're talking about epic healthcare reform, and it needs time to be vetted, it needs time to be debated, and to be doing it on the fly is irresponsible.
We not only represent you, we represent every citizen of the state as taxpayers. And as much as this breaks my heart to say this, let's keep in mind that ARS 15232 did overwhelmingly pass.
And here with us to discuss former Sheriff Arpaio's criminal contempt trial, the Senate's decision to hold off on health care, and a lot more, David Leibowitz of Leibowitz Solo. He's also a longtime newspaper columnist in the Valley. Also here is Donna Greathouse, the Democratic diva. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
Good morning, everyone.
All right, Donna, let's start off with Sheriff Arpaio. First of all, there have been sort of alternating feelings of the agency was incompetent, the judge's orders weren't clear. What do you make of what the trial was these 4 days? And how important is it really now that the sheriff is not even in office anymore?
I think it's important to hold him accountable. And from what I've been reading, I don't think he's got really great defense attorneys, frankly. And I think
he's gone through a lot of
right. And I think it was more about him trying to be a victim and trying to blame everybody else for this. It wasn't a good look from where I sit reading in the paper. I don't know how it's going to turn out in court, but I'm a Democrat and not a fan of the sheriff, so you pretty much know how I hope it's going to go.
Tremendous, colossal. I sound like Donald Trump. Colossal waste of time to prosecute the sheriff on criminal contempt of court charges. Look, this case has been litigated twice already. Once in civil court where the sheriff was found guilty, and once at the ballot box in November of last year when Paul Pensone beat the sheriff by 196,000 votes. This is an 85-year-old man being prosecuted on a misdemeanor charge of contempt of court. He's not going to jail. I mean, this is just about punishing this guy for a 24-year reign of terror. I'm making air quotes while I say it. It's a waste of time.
Is Donna's point well made, though, that because of what was done, we shouldn't forget about that and there has to be some sort of line in the sand?
I mean, think about all the people who are in his jails who did much, much less than he did, and nobody said, well,
this is a misdemeanor contempt of court charge, Donna. There's not a lot of people in Maricopa County jails for misdemeanor contempt of court charges.
Actually, you'd be surprised. I mean,
I'm sure I would be shocked if there were a lot of people in jail for that. But look, at the end of the day,
for like violating probation. I mean, it's a similar thing.
The point, well, it depends what you're on probation for. But the point is this: the most important thing is that we make it clear that racial profiling is not acceptable by law enforcement in the state of Arizona. And that has been made abundantly clear by court decisions. It's been made abundantly clear by the new sheriff of Maricopa County. Let's move on. I mean, look, you don't punish Joe Arpaio by bringing him down to a courthouse and training a bunch of television cameras on him. He loves this. I saw him the other day. Reporters are yelling at him, hey, you have a good day in court today? He said, every day is a good day when you're my age. Like, if this guy wasn't at court, he would be at Luby's getting the early bird special. We're wasting taxpayer resources.
Okay, well, if you have legal problems out there in the KJS audience, just be a blowhard. And we should never go after you for them.
But the outcome you think matters, regardless if Judge Bolton says yes. Let's put it this way: if he doesn't do jail time, which we don't expect him to,
he's not going
to
do jail time.
But even if she were to say you get time served or something like that, that is significant.
Yes, and it matters to a lot of people I know. And as far as they're not racially profiling anymore. Ask people who are the targets of that. I don't think anyone in this studio is, so I wouldn't be so quick to declare this whole problem over.
I didn't say it was over. I said we made it clear that racial profiling is unacceptable. Does it still go on? It absolutely still goes on. Should it be rooted out? Of course it should be rooted out.
How do you root it out?
I don't know that we're rooting out racial profiling by prosecuting an octogenarian who is not sheriff anymore.
Okay, guys, last part on this one. With Sheriff Paul Pensone now in office, and now we're seeing with the Trump administration, are there going to be policy changes related to what the county can even do? Does that David, make it harder for what you're talking about. We're talking about racial profiling being sort of inherent in policies. Paul Pinzone may want to do something, and the feds may say no.
Well, look, there's obviously going to be a conflict between the ostensibly not political Department of Justice, the conservative Republican White House and Congress, and the Democratic sheriff of Maricopa County. And we're going to have to work that out.
Well, I know people are being rounded up, and this is what I'm hearing in the community. A lot more people being detained, being sent to ICE. So, I mean, I guess it depends on what your perspective is, but I think we still have a lot of work to do.
And there's a lot of work to do in the Senate when it comes to what to do about health care. Mitch McConnell has kind of punted at this point because it didn't look like he had the votes either from the conservative side or maybe the more moderate side, if there are still moderates. Republicans in the Senate, we're not sure. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, Donna, what do you make of where this is at right now? I mean, obviously, I presume you're a fan of the Affordable Care Act, at least to some extent. Do you think it needs tweaking, though?
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, I was uninsured from 2007 to 2014 due to a pre-existing condition, like minor things that made me, like, uninsurable. So I've had health care since then. And if this thing passes, I'm one of the people who loses it. I will go back to being uninsurable. I cannot afford what's on the high-risk pools. And I think a lot of people are really scared right now because this is like hitting everyone close to home, not just certain people. And I don't want to give out a bunch of phone numbers, but I want to like tell people that there's a website called 5calls.org. It's the number 5calls.org. Go in there. Put your zip code in. It'll tell you exactly who to call, what the phone numbers, a little summary of what the facts are. So it'll help you with what you want to say. So 5calls.org. We need to be calling both our senators, but especially Flake. And frankly, you know, Flake is doing his usual two-step, and McCain does it too, where they get in front of a camera and look very sad and very concerned and wistfully proclaim how disturbed they are about what the Republicans are doing. And then the second step is they quietly turn around and vote with the Republicans. Frankly, Flake should be a hard no right now. There's no other acceptable. He should not be waffling. He should be a no. And he is not at no yet. So we need to be calling him to get him there.
You know, like, with all due respect, I feel like...
And I feel respected.
No, I mean, you view everything through that prism of partisan politics. There was nothing John McCain and Jeff Flake could ever do right that's going to make
this
you say that
partisan.
They're doing...
This isn't partisan.
No, but it is, Donna.
This is
because
humanity.
The thing of it is...
22 million people losing their health care. It's ridiculous that... And I'm bringing it up. You know, Mika's facelift, the outrage, that's not partisan.
I'm pretty sure that was covered. Under the Trump care. No, because... We are attempting to improve the healthcare system through a political system that is fractured and broken.
Are you one of the 12% that supports this thing?
No, I'm not saying I support it. What I support is coming up with a common sense solution to this.
But they haven't.
I agree.
The bill that's not on the table right now.
What I'm saying is that your dearly beloved Democrats and the Republicans who oppose them have failed miserably.
I'm going to be a
a health care system that works.
Partisan person who tells you that there is a bill being voted on right now that is not the bill that people fantasize about, the wondrous bipartisan unicorn one. It's the actual bill, and I'm going to be the big, mean Democrat telling you to go to 5calls.org and tell Senator Flake to vote no.
Donna's attitude is precisely why health care will never get fixed in the United States Congress or in a Trump administration.
It's my fault, you guys.
Because, no, it's the attitude that is at fault. It's trying to cull political advantage out of this. You started out, Jeff Flake and John McCain act like they don't care. That's an incredibly cynical.
Actually,
that is an incredibly cynical view.
That's the opposite of what I said. Rewind, I said they act like they do care
which presupposes that they don't care.
After. I don't know. I'm not privy to their innermost thoughts.
Well, guys,
I care what they do.
The Republicans are in a lot of trouble, right? The Republicans are in a lot of trouble right now because they are trying to fix, and they've promised terrific health care for everybody. It's going to be great. Your premiums are going to be less. Your deductible will be less. Everybody will be covered for everything. And oh, by the way, our solution takes health care away from 22 million people. Now, the Democrats are having the happiest day in the world.
No, we're not.
They don't really care about people who are paying too much
now
money.
We're casting aspersions on mine.
Right. I am. I'm casting aspersions on your party and on the Republicans because guess what? You people who are active participants in partisanship, you broke the freaking healthcare system in this country and you broke the political system in this country. And so people like me who just want to have a healthcare system that is commensurate with the amount of money we spend on it, who just want to fix the problem, who don't, I don't care. I don't care if Donald Trump won that election. I don't care if Hillary Clinton won the election. I just care that healthcare reform works. And your attitude of, well, the Republicans broke this, that's why it's broken, Donna.
Guys, I'm sorry,
the facts disturb you.
But let's, Donna, talk more about what's going on in the actual what could happen. And what David is saying, most people are cynical about this idea that if you get a situation where Republicans have all the power at this point, that all Democrats can do is sort of say no. You call bipartisanship a unicorn. Seems like bipartisanship is the only way this could actually happen. So is there not going to be a case, as many folks as we have here, whether it's the far right of the Republican Party or the more moderate to liberal part of the Republican Party, it's simply not going, no one's going to really come together at the table. Is that what you think?
You know,
because if Jeff Flake does vote against it,
I feel like we should deal with what's on the table now. I'm sorry, elections do have consequences, no matter what you would like to happen with the parties going away and let's all be independent, wonderful people who like whatever. But this is
yeah,
our
God
government.
For, God forbid.
Civics.
God
this
forbid.
Is civics,
God
David.
Forbid that we put aside partisanship for a minute to fix the single most pressing problem in America.
We have three branches of the government, right? And we have a system whereby the party system is
Schoolhouse
Rock
too.
Okay,
I understand
so
how it works.
There is a bill, a very bad bill, being voted on right now. So we either stop the bill together. I think you should call your senators and just say, don't vote on this thing because it's bad. And then we can talk about what we do later. But let's stop this thing now.
Donna Greathouse of Democratic Diva, David Leibowitz of Leibowitz Soul. We'll be back with more of the News Cap coming up on the show right after this. Good morning. It's the show on 91.5 and KJZZ.org. It's our Friday newscap segment with David Leibowitz and Donna Greathouse. And guys, after the conversation about healthcare, it can only get better from here. Let's talk about the DACA situation a little bit. Maricopa Community College District, KJZZ is licensed to the district, and the Arizona Board of Regents yesterday made an important decision to keep in-state tuition for DACA students at least until the state Supreme Court acts. David, thoughts on that?
Doesn't look good in front of the Arizona Supreme Court. I mean, six of the seven justices who will render this ruling are Republicans. Presumably, they'd want to follow the track laid down by the legislature, who has basically said you can't give benefits to, and I'm making air quotes again, to these people. It puts a lot of kids, you know, it puts 2,000 kids in the Maricopa District in a tough position, a couple hundred more kids at the bigger universities in a very tough position. I mean, I have some sympathy for taxpayers, but at the same time, it seems like a relatively small price to pay in the aggregate to give people access to education that can better their lives. So I feel like somehow this is it's almost like a solution in search of a problem.
Okay. Donna?
Yeah, I agree. I support what the board did, and I hope it won't go down in the court. And these are great kids. I mean, they're trying to go to college, right? I mean, they're not trying to commit crimes or anything. They're trying to be really great citizens, and I think we should support them in that. So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, I think you have to draw some type of a line in the sand between, you know, we have this sort of cliched notion of people getting benefits for sitting at home and they're not working, they
right.
don't do anything, and they're glomming benefits out of the system. These kids are not those kids.
Not at all.
And I felt like, you know, if we could, you know, at some level, like the argument over illegal immigration is, well, how do we sift out the bad people from the good people? Well, here's a natural way to find. Here's a quick way to find.
These are people making it very clear.
We'll find 2,200 really good people this afternoon, and I feel like we can support them. Now, look, is there a middle answer? Look, maybe there's an answer that has them pay somewhere in between an in-state tuition and an out-of-state tuition that actually equalizes, what it costs to educate them. And I think it's more.
Think about, we've been educating these kids since, in many cases, kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why not continue? I don't even think we should have to penalize them in any way. It's not their fault. They were brought here.
And guys, briefly.
But again, I mean, so when the Arizona Supreme Court steps in and says, nope, you can't do that, then what?
But I think they do have a tendency to respect legislation, you know, if at all possible in the court. So, that's a concern.
And a real quick one here related to the universities as well. There were big headlines this week that ASU President Michael Crow highest paid based on bonuses and whatnot, highest paid university president in the country. Just two-part question. Do you think he deserves it? And is that important? Should we care about that because it's a state university?
You know, I'm a paralegal, so I'm probably not the foremost expert on, like, what is just and reasonable compensation for top university executives. But I will submit this, that if we do think he's paid too much, we could correct that right now by just replacing him with an equally qualified woman. And then you can knock, like, a third off the salary right off the bat, sure.
Who knew women work so cheap? No, I mean, look, if you look at Michael Crow's career, I think you would argue that what's happened at ASU in terms of elevating the brand, in terms of expanding what the unity does and
it's
raising
its largest university, right.
I mean, if he's not the highest paid, if he wasn't the highest paid, I could certainly make a case he ought to be in, like, the top five. Now, you know, having said that, I mean, look, if you really want to have an argument about pay, I mean, we should go down the line a couple of notches past Michael Crow and talk about college football coaches and college basketball coaches and the ridiculous salaries that those fellas make. Mm-hmm. Because they're clearly overpaid. And they're clearly overpaid usually based on the record of the team that they're coaching in addition to what the market will bear.
And it's not really a lot of money that goes to academic programs either. It's get fed back into the sports program, which, okay, fine, but yeah, it's a school.
It's interesting to me. I mean, ASU remains at times remains very controversial in the community. You know, I worked on a public safety campaign. It's a public safety sales tax coupled with an increase to fund ASU infrastructure in Mesa. And we did a lot of polling. And at the end of the day, what we found was that voters would have voted yes for that because they wanted to fund public safety, but they voted no because they did not want to enlarge what they looked at as sort of the Michael Crow, the ASU fiefdom. And they have really, I mean, ASU is a campus on steroids. It's all over the valley now compared to 20 years ago when I got here.
That's David Leibowitz of Leibowitz Solo. Also here is Donna Greathouse, the Democratic diva. And we switch gears for just a couple of minutes here, joined by Hank Stevenson of the Arizona Capital Times. The Arizona Capital Times earlier this week gave out some of its Best of the Capital Awards. Hank, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And good luck in your future venture. I understand this is your final day at the Cap Times.
It is. It is. A scary world out there for me.
Well, let's talk just for a couple of minutes about the awards ceremony, what went on, because, you know, we've heard about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That was extra controversial this time around because President Trump said a lot of things, didn't want to attend, this kind of thing. How does this sort of award ceremony compare to that?
I mean, in tone, it's very similar. You know, it's kind of a lighthearted event, a little bit part roast, part stand-up routine, part popularity contest, I guess. And what we do is, you know, once a year after the legislative session has ended, we try to have some fun making fun of ourselves and making fun of the lawmakers. And generally, they take it pretty well. I don't think anyone's gotten too upset at being the butt of our jokes at these events. But, you know, some of the jokes are pretty harsh. So it's not entirely lighthearted. We get a couple of digs in there. But it's, you know, for us reporters, it's kind of a funny thing because, you know, we're all kind of hard-nosed reporters here at the Capital Times. And then once a year, we have to kind of swallow our pride and give these politicians awards, which kills us in the inside a little bit. But I guess we make money. And, you know, if you put that aside, it's fun.
Well, and Hank, there are some categories of the standard stuff. Best lawmaker, you know, and then there's best dressed is thrown in there. But I understand at the event there were some that categories maybe you should have had that sounded a little bit edgier.
Yeah, we have a MC who does this thing every year. His name's Russell Smolden. He's a longtime lobbyist, real funny guy, and gets up there and generally kind of gives his part stand-up routine, part ribbing of the audience. And he came up with a handful of categories that we should have included, but we didn't this year, including Best Young Lady. That was kind of a reference to Republican male lawmakers repeatedly calling some of the female Democrats in the House young lady rather than the representative from District X or whatever. There was kind of a backlash to that, so we decided we should have had a Best Old White Male Republican category. And then, you know, Best Recorded Secretly Recorded Conversation. That's kind of a reference to the dust up between the lawmaker Mark Fincham and former Board of Regents Chairman Greg Patterson after Patterson had secretly recorded this conversation. We talked about Best Unindicted Co-Conspirator, a reference to the FBI investigation going on into the Corporation Commission right now and how that whole thing broke loose. and a couple other kind of fun categories like that. Best wall, the possible winners were Trump's wall, the Great Wall of China, and the Kevlar wall that the Arizona House installed a couple of years ago after this big security threat they were all worried about.
Well, Hank, briefly to wrap up, did you have any special awards to your friend, former House Speaker David Gowen?
No. We did talk about doing a best use of state vehicles award, but it would have been just such a clear winner. We didn't think there'd be really a contest there. So he won it in spirit, though.
All right. Hank Stevenson of the Arizona Capital Times. Hank, good luck in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me on.
And David, Donna, to wrap up. Donna, have you ever won a best of the Capital award?
I got nominated once, but I think they just can't handle me. So, no, I'm kidding.
I did, in fact, win, and that really devalues the award
by
a power of 10.
Yeah.
Incidentally, former Speaker Garrett actually drove me here in his state.
God, I wish we had a rim shot. Yeah. Guys, in the final minute, and Donna, you made a quick reference to the Mika Brzezinski thing. Obviously, I left it for the very end because I don't want to belabor it too much. But based on what is it like? I think we know where you're going to come from on this, but what is it like to have a president who tweets like this? You've done some PR. David has done a lot of PR. What would you say, if you had a candidate you were working with, would you hide his phone? What would you do?
I don't think you can. I think this is beyond the capabilities of, with all due respect, all PR people who have ever existed. So it's just such an uncharted territory. I have no idea what these people should be doing. I don't know why they're working for him. So, you know,
you wish you could pry the phone out of his hands because he does himself no favors. I flipped around TV, you know, every 24 hours you sort of look at it and that's all they're talking about because that's what people understand. Look, it's very difficult to talk with complexity about the healthcare debate. But Mika Brzezinski, a facelift? Hey, we can all have an opinion about that.
And then, too, the Washington, D.C. and New York kind of media, they're a cliquey crowd just like they are here,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was one of their own being attacked. And it's kind of annoying as somebody who's not in that crowd to watch how there's so much focus and so much outrage on that. And it's like, that's like a five-minute news segment. You need to move on because there's like a really lot of important stuff going on.
I did find it frightening that Kellyanne Conway sort of made sense to me, which that was a first.
Oh,
but
boy.
She was
Brother
no.
Clocks.
That's a sign the segment is done. I think.
Yeah. Oh, good.
David Leibowitz, Leibowitz solo. Donna Greathouse, Democratic Diva. You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.